Welcome to Blueprint to Boom, your plan for taking a small idea and building something big. Hello and welcome to another episode of Blueprint to Boom. My name is David Henderson Begg and this is the podcast for small businesses. I've been managing, running, starting small businesses for nearly 30 years now, and I just want to give back some of that knowledge. Although actually, I was thinking it's probably closer to 40 years if you count the time when I charged my school friends to go and collect their McDonald's at lunchtime. So Deliveroo, eat your heart out. Every week, I am going to introduce a guest who is either running a small business themselves and has interesting stories, or someone who's providing a service to small businesses. And I'm really, really thrilled that this week my guest is my friend and colleague Tamaz Biro, who runs the digital marketing agency NetZol. Hello.
Hi, David. Thanks for the opportunity.
No, you're very welcome. So as with every week, we will start with some small business news. So the first piece of news that I came across this week was that the National Cybersecurity Centre has launched a new cyber action toolkit to help small businesses strengthen their online defences. It's designed to walk business owners through simple steps to protect customer data, staff accounts, and their online platforms, even without a dedicated IT team. It's not just big companies that are being targeted anymore. Small businesses are increasingly at risk from cyber attacks. Tamaz, you run a digital agency. How often do you come across businesses that are leaving themselves wide open online?
I think it's pretty common nowadays. I think people don't take seriously, especially small businesses. Cybersecurity is not taken seriously. So I do come across quite often.
Yeah, it is something that every business has got to be aware of now. The second piece of news that I came across was a report from Vodafone that claims small businesses, particularly in the hospitality and tourism sectors, lost an estimated £1.5 billion in revenue this summer due to poor connectivity. Broken Wi-Fi, patchy 4G coverage, and slow broadband all contributed to missed card payments and online bookings. We all take Wi-Fi to granted, but I've witnessed firsthand in this country how sometimes it's not great. I go to the Canary Islands for holiday, and wherever I go, I've got a full strength 5G signal. Yep. But I can go to the city centre in Norwich or even in London sometimes, and I barely get 4G. Digital marketing relies so much on connectivity. If business broadband isn't up to scratch, how much does it hold people back now?
I mean, you know, it's not just digital marketing. I mean, every business is now completely reliant on connectivity. And in this country, you know, connectivity is a big issue, I think. You know, like, we've got really old infrastructure. You barely get 4G signal, not even 5G. You don't get that. So it's an issue.
And there are solutions out there, but you sometimes have to go to an expert to find them if you're setting up and starting a small business.
100%.
And finally, the government has confirmed plans for new UK sustainability reporting standards. Ooh, another government reporting scheme starting in 2026. Primarily, this will affect large firms, but small businesses will feel the knock-on effects, especially those in supply chains, because larger companies will expect their suppliers to report on things like carbon emissions and sustainability practices. So, Tamaz, from a marketing perspective, do you think sustainability credentials are becoming part of the brand story for small businesses?
100%. Yeah. I think, you know, people care more and more about the environment and, you know, having those, creds, it's definitely help businesses.
Okay. And so how can an SME showcase that authentically without it feeling like greenwashing?
I think it's showing, let's say, on your social media that you really care about the environment, that helps. So just having genuine content about, you know, really caring about.
Without it looking forced.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That makes sense. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, so this is the bit that everybody loves and everybody gets really nervous about, but it's never as bad as people think. So this is the shock interview. So Tomáš, nobody knows much about you, so this is your opportunity to tell our guests a little bit about you. So imagine that you are applying for a job with me and I'm interviewing for you for the job. So let's just start out. Please, Tomáš, tell us what you've been doing recently.
So I run a small digital marketing agency based in Leeds. We specialize in search engine optimization, web design, and pay-per-click advertising. So we cover pretty much all aspects of digital marketing.
So what does a normal day look like for you?
Well, building client websites, doing search engine optimization, having meetings with clients. That's pretty much it.
Okay. So we've got some questions here that are pretty odd for an interview these days, but believe it or not, these are the sort of things that people used to ask. So do you consider yourself more of a morning person or an evening person? And how would that affect your willingness to work at weekends?
I'm definitely a morning person. I used to be an evening person, but that has changed. Now I have a little boy, so I usually wake up around 6 o'clock in the morning now. Go to the gym, and then straight in the office after that. So
you've got a child and you go to the gym a lot. Is that going to affect your ability to work?
Gym definitely helps with my mental health. The child doesn't help with, you know, sleeping. So that's why I wake up at 6 o'clock.
And how would your family describe your attitude to work?
They would probably say that I work hard and I work a lot, of course.
What do you usually do on a Friday night?
Work. Usually.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Not every Friday night, but, you know, quite often.
Okay. So loaded or biased questions that may indicate subtle discrimination or misplaced judgment. So we're quite a young, dynamic team. Do you think you'd fit in?
Yeah, I think so. So despite how I look, I'm actually quite young myself. So.
Okay. Are you much older than you look? do you have any family commitments that might get in the way of you working late?
Definitely. Yes, I do have a young child, as I just mentioned. So, yeah.
Okay. So manipulative or impossible questions. Why would anybody ever ask questions like this? But honestly, these were questions that people used to ask. How many golf balls can you fit inside a double-decker bus?
500.
Okay.
Oh, that's a lot more, actually.
It's got to be just, a lot more than that, hasn't it?
Probably half a million, actually.
I honestly don't know what people would have been trying to elicit from a question like that. Where do you see yourself in 5 years, assuming you still work here?
You know, I could never answer that question. Hopefully I'll see myself as a successful businessman in 5 years' time.
Okay. And finally, just plain awkward finishers. So we're like a family here. How good are you at handling office drama?
Not very good, to be honest.
I can't stand office drama.
Probably not getting the job then.
Okay. Do you have any questions for us that won't make us change our mind about hiring you?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. See, that's it. Thank you for participating in the shock interview. Wasn't as bad as you thought, was it?
It was.
But please remember... Don't try that at home and certainly not in the office. Okay, so after all the fun and frolics, we're now going to get down to business. So the theme of our first season is very much going to be about starting a business. So we've talked to Matt about the IT foundations. We've talked to Margaret about corporate structure and about what you need to do from an accounting point of view. But if you're starting a new business, you're going to have to tell people about it. You're going to have to shout from the rooftops about your fantastic niche idea. And so marketing is going to be absolutely essential. And that can feel overwhelming. There's a huge amount to consider now when it comes to marketing a new business. Websites, social media, SEO, paid ads. So let's try and tease this out a little bit and help out with some ideas. So what should every new business do first to establish a digital presence?
I mean, you know, social media presence is a must nowadays. So, you know, you have to have those accounts set up. And that doesn't cost you actually any money. And you can, you know, start producing some content yourself. Second most important thing, I think, or maybe the first, is a website. You know, it's absolutely essential to have, depending on the business, the type of business you have. But if it's an e-commerce brand, then of course you have to have a website. But yeah, any other brand, to have a booking system online, to have, you know, some information about your products, about your services, it's absolutely essential to have a website.
So websites and social media. So, I mean, on the website, I've actually seen people, when they try to set up a bank account, they're actually looking for the website. Yep. To see whether or not it's a real business.
Yes, yes. And sometimes they make the decision based on your website. So that's why it's crucial to have, you know, a well-developed, nice-looking website.
Because and in terms of budget, how much do you... all right. There are a lot of tools out there which people could do their own website.
Yes.
So why would they go to a professional? What are they going to get extra? How much extra is it going to cost them?
I mean... You're absolutely right. There are lots of tools out there which, you know, like Wix, you can build the website yourself. But I think most people don't have the design skills, what you need. So I think it's best to leave it for the professionals. And that's just, you know, the design bit. There's lots of elements that goes into a website. So search engine optimization, for instance, you know, that's something that, you know, you're unlikely going to do yourself. So in terms of costs, you know, that depends on you know, how complex the website is. But, you know, for basic websites nowadays, built by professionals, I would say starting around £2,000-£2,500 up to £5,000. Anything that, you know, an e-commerce site or, you know, has, I don't know, a booking system or something more complex, it can go up to £10,000 or more.
But probably not so much for just a static, almost an enhanced business card type of website.
Yeah, so on the lower end of the budget, I would say you need around £3,000 for a basic but nice looking website, you know.
And that is the key. So yeah, I am 100% function over form. I haven't got an artistic bone in my body, and so I used to do some websites for friends and membership organizations, and I can remember one. I'm actually picturing it in my mind now and slightly embarrassed as to what it looked like. It was absolutely terrible. And that's, as you say, that's just from the design point of view. But now, as the back end of the website has got more complicated, and you can do a huge amount of stuff with HTML5 and CSS and everything, that's really powerful. But it's not just about the design side, it's about you're almost coding a piece of software, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, it's user experience as well. So being mobile first is very important, because most users now visit your website on a mobile device. It's absolutely crucial to leave it to the professionals, in my opinion.
Okay. So that's the website and social media. So how can someone, you said it's quite easy to do yourself. How can someone kick off a social media presence?
I mean, as a small business owner and limited, you know, resources, you can set up, you know, the minimum I would say is having an Instagram, TikTok, depending on your niche and the type of products or service that you offer, and potentially a LinkedIn page. So these three, I would say. It would be nice to have, you know, a YouTube as well, of course, or, you know, other social media channels. But at a minimum, I would say Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok.
They cater for different audiences, really, don't
yeah,
you? So how would you sort of break down the different?
I mean, TikTok is definitely to target, you know, a younger audience, no doubt about that. And certainly, you know, it's video content, which is probably harder to produce, whereas the other platforms you can do all sorts of content. And now with AI, of course, content generation has never been easier than today, you know, using these AI tools. So yeah, you can set up a LinkedIn page for your business, which is pretty simple to do. And then with the use of ChatGPT, you can create quite good content, you know, without putting a lot of effort into it.
Okay. So once you've set up your foundation, your website, you've got some social media accounts going, how do you build on that? How do you build the credibility and the visibility?
I mean, this is what so many small business owners get wrong, that, you know, they think that digital marketing is a one-off thing, right? Okay, we're going to invest in this website, we have it ready, and then job done, you know? And now people just turn up on your website, you know? That's a lot of, you know, small business owners, how they think, unfortunately. And that's just not how it really is, you know? So having a website, yeah, absolutely crucial. But you need to drive traffic to that website somehow. So you either, you're going to pay for it through, you know, paid advertising, whereas channels, you can use, you know, Google Ads. You can use, you know, ads on Facebook or Instagram. Or you can use search engine optimization to drive traffic organically from Google to your website. But I think that a lot of small business owners don't get right that, you know, this is a continuous improvement and, you know, you need to make constant changes on your website, you need to update it, and same goes for the social media channels. You know, you need to put out content every 2-3 days, and consistency is key.
There's that word. I was waiting for that word, consistency, because that is just the most important thing, isn't it?
And absolutely.
It's so in terms of social media, it's consistently posting, it's consistently putting out multiple times per week content, trying different things.
It's difficult because you put out content and it's unlikely that you're going to see results initially, right? So that's where consistency comes in, because despite, you know, not seeing immediate results, you have to keep doing it, you know? And, you know, if you do it, you know, for a certain amount of time, you're going to see results. And that's true with most part of your life. You know, the same applies for business as well. You know, being consistent is absolutely key.
Yeah, I think that is a huge thing, which a lot of people don't realize. You see people who appear to be hugely successful on social media or in business, and they've only got there by consistent hard work. It isn't overnight success at all, is it?
And because you're not going to be motivated every day, you know. You're motivated in your first week starting your business, right? You're excited, you're motivated, but you know, after like first 2 months, you're not motivated anymore. So you need consistency.
Yeah,
you know, you need to be strict with yourself.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head. You know, the first few social media posts, the first few weeks, or the first few months, it's probably not going to make much of a dent, is it?
No, because usually social media platforms are quite strict with new users as well. So that's one thing. So the algorithm is not going to, you know, be in your favor initially in the first 2 months. So you just have to sort of be consistent despite, you know, not seeing any results or your engagement is low.
It's like going to the gym.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not going to see any results for the first 2 months, right? So yeah, exactly.
And then suddenly you might do something and completely unexpectedly out of the blue, it's a breakthrough.
Yeah.
And that's the start of the snowball rolling down the hill.
100%.
And it's the same with the website. You mentioned this before, and I've seen this so much over the years, is people, exactly what you said, setting up the website, spending a long time getting it looking beautiful, working out the content. Although that is one thing I would say to small business owners is, If you've got things that you want to say, the person who's developing your website doesn't know that. You're the one that's going to actually have to tell them what to say, because I've had people who've just sort of expected you to dream up what's in their head, which doesn't work. But as you said, a website is a living thing.
Yes.
And it's not just about the end user experience, is it? The technology is picking up on the fact that it is a living thing, isn't it?
100%. Yeah. So, you know, from an SEO perspective, you need to have, you know, new content out there to be relevant and picked up by Google. So an outdated site is not going to do well when it comes to SEO. And now we talk about search engine optimization. It is absolutely crucial to invest in it in the long run. The big difference, I would say, with SEO, unlike pay-per-click advertising like Google Ads, is that once, let's say your business having financial difficulties, once you stop the ads, you pause the ads, that's your traffic stopped, right? But with SEO, that's different, you know, because you're thinking in the long term. So you're still going to have traffic despite, you know, despite not spending any money on Google Ads because people are clicking, on your pages through Google.
So just because the audience might be people that have not got any experience in this at all, can you explain a little bit more about what SEO, search engine optimization, is, what PPC, pay-per-click, is, and what's the difference between the two?
I mean, so interestingly, both is mainly dominated by Google. So the key difference is when you search for something in Google, the first top results usually are paid ads. So I would say the first four results in Google are paid advertising. So that's when you pay for Google to show up on the top of the page results. And that obviously costs quite a lot of money for businesses, you know, because there is a bidding war usually for certain keywords, and it can be, you know, £10-15 per click for certain keywords. Per click for certain keywords.
And there's no guarantee that you're going to get any business after that.
No guarantee at all.
No.
They're just going to land on your page, and based on that, they decide whether they want that service or good goods or not. SEO is different in a way that it's the organic results in Google. So it's not the paid top results, but what comes after that. So being, you know, first in Google, what most people refer to is being number one organically. So that's in reality actually position 5, if you think about it, but still in the first page and relatively high.
Okay. And are there any common mistakes that people make with SEO and pay-per-click that is an easy thing to avoid?
I mean, there's lots of mistakes, right, that people make about these things. As you mentioned rightly in the beginning, you know, just because having a lot of clicks doesn't mean that they're going to convert. So that applies to, you know, paid advertising. So having properly set up ads and conversion tracking, which is absolutely crucial to know, you know, how your ad's actually performing. So conversion tracking is knowing when somebody through one of your ads converted, so sent a inquiry form or made a phone call to your business or made a purchase on your website. So that can all be tracked, and therefore you know how your ads are performing.
Yeah, because it's really essential that you try to get some sense of whether you're getting a return on investment.
Exactly.
So things are changing though, aren't they?
Definitely.
And changing very fast.
Yes.
With AI or AI as something's going around social media is saying at the moment. But we're seeing the way that search results are being displayed changing very, very quickly. Yes. How's that going to affect things?
I think there was going to be significant changes in SEO and in digital marketing.
And should Google be getting worried?
I think so. So let's start with the first question. So there's lots of changes happening. So now I'm sure you've noticed that if you ask a question in Google, the AI overview is the default result now. So you get an answer straight away to your question, which I think is a good thing. So if you think like, you know, a couple of years ago, sometimes you needed to go on page 5 to find an answer to your question and browse, you know, lots of pages. But now it's, you know, you get the answer on an instant.
Yes, certainly from an end user perspective, yes. That's fantastic. But
that's
for the business trying to display their wares.
Yes. So there's lots of businesses who used, they answered questions on their blogs, articles, which was a good SEO strategy to drive traffic to your site. So they would create content to answer certain questions, what users were asking. And this was their SEO strategy to drive as much organic traffic to your site as possible. And it worked. But now, obviously, because of this quite significant change, that's just not working anymore. However, I still think that Google is still dominant in terms of, you know, looking for a specific service. Let's say I'm looking for IT support near me. So it's not an AI overview, but you get actually results So SEO is still significant when people are looking for services or goods, and I think it's still going to be significant in the future as well.
And as I said, should Google be starting to get worried? Because we saw last week the release of Atlas.
Yes.
Which is ChatGPT's own browser. Mac only, Windows next month.
Yes, I've tried it out and I'm very impressed. And should Google be worried? Yes, definitely. Because a lot of people use ChatGPT now for their daily search. Like, I use it every day to ask questions, you know? So whenever I have a question, I actually use the voice thing. And
yeah, I've used that as well. You've got to avoid questions. Having a chat with it, don't you? Because it's, yeah. Like, it's like Knight Rider having a chat with the car.
It's really cool. And sometimes even discussing ideas, I use it, you know? So we just talk to each other. It's really good. So my point is, should Google be worried? Absolutely, yes. I think more and more people use ChatGPT as their default search engine. And I think you can get better answers with ChatGPT than with Google AI Overview, Gemini.
So what sort of things should people be thinking about now, with bearing in mind the way that search is changing and how quickly it's changing? What sort of strategies should people be putting in place to try and keep up with this?
So there is LLM optimization, which is large language model optimization, just to making sure that, you know, your website is crawlable. That means accessible by the AI bots, and just having content that, you know, AI can easily access and understand, that helps to actually show up in ChatGPT. And I think, so Google has a product called Search Console, which gives you, you know, access to a lot of data, how people find you in Google search. So I think we can expect a similar product coming from ChatGPT soon as well. In fact, they're already working on a similar tool as the Google Merchant Center, which allows actually product to be synced. So let's say you have an e-commerce Shopify store. So you can actually sync your products into ChatGPT. So when people asking for recommendations in ChatGPT, your products, I guess, shown dynamically. And then now I heard that ChatGPT partnered with PayPal, so people can actually make the purchase while just using the ChatGPT interface, not leaving the site at all.
I mean, AI, these huge advances in AI, some of them are not, well, a lot of them are not being paid for at the moment. You know, OpenAI and all these big companies, they're struggling to monetize some of the stuff. So it occurred to me the other day, how long is it going to be before there's the equivalent of pay-per-click for ChatGPT? It's got to be something.
I think it's going to come very
soon. It's got to be something they're planning, hasn't
100%, 100%.
It? 100%. You've talked about quite a few technical terms with regards to Search Console and the huge amount of data that's available within Google. And as you said, Google at the moment is still king. NetSol are Google partners, aren't That's they? Right. How yes. important is it that people reach out to professionals that know what they're working with?
I mean, you know, being a Google partner, that means that you're managing a portfolio which has a certain spend, you know, so that means that they have certain, experience as well, because you need to have a certain amount of clients to reach that amount. And also, there is certain certifications that your team needs to do in order to get your Google certified badge. So working with a Google certified partner is essential, because you know that you're working with professionals.
So you've got two strands to that. First of all, you've got the experience because of the size of the portfolio that you're managing. And second of all, you've had to do certifications, so you know you've got the product knowledge.
Exactly.
So yeah, that makes sense. So other than the basics, what else, if they had a bit more time and money, what other things could people be thinking to do next to build on their digital marketing?
I mean, video content is king now, because you know, these new platforms like TikTok, Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. So People are watching videos. So I think what we're seeing now is that this type of content converts the best so far. So it outperforms traditional, you know, just having a still image and some sort of caption. So if businesses have, you know, extra money, it definitely should invest in you know, creating or producing good quality video content about their business, about their products.
Like podcasts.
Or like podcasts, yes.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Yes.
We absolutely. Should do some podcasts.
Yeah, we should do, yeah. Just don't invite me. I get nervous.
Are there any common mistakes, beginner mistakes, that you see people making that they should avoid?
Yes, I mean there's lots of mistakes. I think one I've mentioned that, you know, people think that digital marketing is a one-off thing. I think probably that's
you, I don't I mean yeah, you have mentioned it. I don't think you can mention enough the word consistency.
Yes.
If there's one word that you should take with you about digital marketing,
yes, that's the biggest lesson.
It is consistency, consistency, consistency.
Yeah. That's it, because, you know, you want to see immediate results, right? But that's just not how it works, unfortunately. Another thing that I think a lot of businesses make is that we're so lucky now that we have so much data available for us for free. You know, like simple tools like Google Analytics or Search Console that I mentioned earlier allows you to access a large amount of data to understand your customers for free, you know. Yet what I'm keep seeing that a lot of small businesses either don't have these set up properly, or they don't understand it and they don't use it. So every business should be based on data, because, you know, we've never been so lucky to have access to this much data, you know, on our customers.
And again, going back to Google Search Console and Analytics, I mean, those products have evolved so much over the last 10 years. Yes. I mean, when I first started working in this space, an amateur could understand what was going on and how to configure it. But now it's grown exponentially. There's so many different ways that you configure it. Unless you know what you're doing, there's so much data, it's difficult to actually understand what that data is talking about, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
So that's another important reason to have someone who actually does understand
100%
tools. But if you're starting a small business, we know that it's tough. It's tough for the first months, maybe even years. Money might be tight. I know that people are always loathe to spend money on marketing, even though that's really the one thing that they should be spending money on to sort of drive the business. But you know, we mentioned earlier for an entry-level website, £2,000, which I think a lot of people might be thinking, oh my word. You know, I remember the days when people were knocking out websites for 50 quid, which, you know, I accept, to make it look nice, to use good quality technology, and also secure technology as well. That's important,
yeah,
because websites are a way that people can attack your business. So I accept to use the good technology, to have the good design. There is a cost to that. But if a newly started small business is tight on money, where should they focus it? Where should they get professional help rather than go DIY?
Professional help. I mean, you know, I think website and social media are probably the best areas to look for professional help. And just, you know, analyzing your data, if you can do it yourself, great. But just going back to that again, like traditionally with marketing, you know, back in the day, you go to your local newspaper, pay £500 for an ad and hope for the best, you know, and you could never really track the success, you know, of your ad, you know, but that's changed. And this is not even new technology. Like conversion tracking exists since, you know, the early 2000s, you know.
Well, we used to see people sort of visit www.mywebsite.com/ you know, something, which was how you would track whether people were reading that advert.
Yeah, that's one way. But it was just never, you know, you could just never tell for sure that, you know, it was successful or not. But that's changed now completely in a way that, you know, now you can trace it back, you know. So with Google Ads conversion tracking, for instance, you know exactly how your ads are performing, how much you spent, and what's the return on investment. So let's say how much purchases were made because of that single ad that you had running.
Okay, well, thank you very much for a pretty good introduction into some of the things that a business should do to start with. I think we'll have you back in the future when you can relax a little bit more, having got one under your belt, to dig into some of these topics in a little bit more detail, because they're huge, some of these topics. I mean, we could talk
hours about these things.
Yeah, we could talk about just websites as an Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. They're all a separate topic, really, aren't they? So it's difficult to hit everything in one spot, but I think we've sort of given a good idea of some of the things that people should be considering at the start. I asked you as part of your homework to come up with a question for the competition, because Labyrinth Technology is providing this Galaxy A9 tablet. Oh, wow. To one lucky winner who answers all of the questions from this first season correctly. So what's your question, Tomas?
What is SEO stand for?
Okay, nice and straightforward. Good, I like that, because some people have come up with really complicated questions which I've had difficulty remembering. So your question is, what does SEO stand for? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so every episode we're asking our guests to give us three bullet points, three pieces of actionable advice which can help their business in its first few weeks and months. So with regards to digital marketing, Tomas, what are your blueprint bullets?
Okay, now this is going to be boring for the listeners, but again, consistency. I think that's probably my biggest recommendation.
We should have a count of how many times we've used consistency, shouldn't we? So
that's definitely...
So consistency is key.
It's key, and that's my biggest advice. Second, I would say use your data. It's very important to make decisions based on data. You know, over 90% of small businesses fail in the first 2 years. So there's a lot of risks, involved in creating a new business. So making decisions based on data can reduce that risk. So
and this is really good, because that actually ties back to something that Margaret said on the last episode about doing a budget. It's like so many businesses don't do a budget, and it's all about you. Data, So just in the same way that you've got to look at the data with digital marketing, make sure you're getting that return on investment, you've got to do the same with, you know, your wider business and doing the budget. So consistency, use the data, and
we talked about this as well. Don't look at digital marketing as a one-off investment or as a one-off thing. It's just think of it as a continuous thing that needs investing every month. And needs time spent on.
Perfect. Thank you very much for your blueprint bullets. Okay, so the final segment of every episode is the scorecard. So this is where we ask our guests to rate the current environment in the UK for doing business. So I don't want this to be party political. Okay, this is not about the government, but this is not about who is in power. This is about just where we are as a country. So there's six things. So first of all, overall, and just go with your gut, just go with your first thing. So on a scale of 1 to 5, how supportive do you think the current political and regulatory climate is for small businesses in the UK?
I'm going to rate this as a 4.
A 4?
Yeah.
Okay. Red tape. How would you rate the level of bureaucracy small businesses face today, where one is unbearable but five is efficient and light touch?
So because I come from, I'm originally from Hungary, and I know how difficult and how much bureaucracy there is in Hungary to opening, setting up a new company. So, that's something that in this country you can do online in less than 12 hours. You can set up with £50, that is amazing. It's very easy to set up a new business in this country. In Hungary, you actually, it's that complex that you need to hire a company to do it for you. You need to have quite a large capital as well as a requirement to set up a business. So because of this, I'm going to rate this as a five.
Okay. And yeah, this is really interesting, because I think for someone that has only worked in the UK, yeah. I look at
a lot of people don't realize
it. Oh, this is terrible. Yeah, yeah. But, Margaret said that she worked with companies that are based in France and Italy, and they're saying the same as you.
Yes.
Much harder, yes, bureaucratically.
I think you can do most things online in this country, and that's just amazing.
Yeah. Okay. What about the tax environment, though, taking into account corporation tax, VAT thresholds, and things like R&D credits?
So I've heard rumours that, the VAT threshold might be reduced to £30,000.
Well, we're in rumour territory
rumors,
at the moment, and I think this episode will go out before
so,
the budget.
So I'm going to say, okay. All right, so I'm going to rate this three.
Okay. Similar, but different, access to finance and support, availability of funding and credit.
Again, I'm going to rate this three.
There are schemes out there,
which is good. There's startup loans out there, which are again good. But the problem is, I just looked at some of these loans, and the interest rate is starting from 6%. Which I think is quite a lot, for a new business, for a small business. And I know that's linked to the Bank of England interest rates, of course. So, but still, that's expensive.
But I mean, I've seen small business financing where the percentage rate is actually hidden a little bit. And when you calculate it out, it's about 10-11%, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, it reflects the level of risk that the institution has got to take.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you want, to businesses to succeed and have, a large number of, small and medium-sized businesses in the economy, which is crucial, then you need to make these loans more accessible and cheaper.
Yeah. I can't remember whether you gave me a number.
I'm going to rate this three.
Three, okay. Infrastructure and skills, which includes digital connectivity, transport and utilities that small businesses rely on.
Okay, so that's there's a lot of things. So infrastructure, that's, I think, pretty good in this country. Connectivity, not so much. We talked about that earlier. So, I'm going to rate this probably three as well.
Okay. And finally, stability and confidence. So,
okay, there is
other than the fact that the budget's coming around the corner, and someone I know called it the budget of doom. but how would you rate the level of stability and predictability in the UK policy environment?
Currently, there's a lot of uncertainty in the economy, and I think small businesses definitely feel it. So I'm going to rate this two.
Two. Okay. And your values will be on the website in due course for everybody to see, and we'll be aggregating them as well so that we get an overall picture. But thank you very much. That was really interesting.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
No, in general, I think that was really, really interesting. Thank you so much. Thank you very much for joining us again for our third episode of Blueprint to Boom. I hope you found that useful. And if you did, please follow us.